You're listening to in-depth coverage and analysis of the final weeks of the 2020 campaign on the COIN Podcast Network, your local election headquarters.
Do you remember where you were when you first heard his name?
August 2015, I would have been just heading back to college, so I was probably in Pullman, Washington.
Cell phone video shows the suspected gunman hogtied on the ground. The knots that hold him still, the handiwork of 22-year-old National Guardsman Alex Scarlatos and his two friends.
French President Francois Hollande hailed them as heroes.
Saw a guy entering the train with an AK and a handgun, and I just looked over at Spencer and said, "Let's go, go." And he jumped up.
And it's important for voters to know that Alex is bad for Oregonians' health.
Engaging a potential catastrophic situation and pinning down someone who clearly was intent on doing a lot of harm.
If you think about the event on the train itself, the decisive moment for his national and international fame is about taking down a gunman, Islamic extremist, on a train in Europe.
Episode 3, The Hero Candidate. Oregonian Alex Scarlatos burst onto the international scene thanks to a selfless act of heroism on a Paris-bound train in late summer of 2015.
Over 500 people were on board the train from Amsterdam to Paris.
Now he's back home, running for Congress in a district dominated by Democrats, and he's getting national attention.
Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy traveled all the way to Roseburg to headline a fundraiser for Alex.
What does the message he is molding have to say about the future of the relationship between the Republican Party in rural America? All right, Hannah Rae Lambert, you did a pretty big write-up on Alex Scarlatos late spring, early summer. What'd you think of him? Reporter Hannah Rae Lambert covers rural issues for COIN. She talked to Alex Scarlatos at a cafe in Roseburg in June.
I liked him. He's a personable guy, pretty down-to-earth, easy to talk to, not stiff or serious like you might expect.
Charismatic?
Very charismatic, yeah.
You'll hear a lot from their conversation throughout this episode. How quickly did you learn he was from Oregon?
I think that would have been a couple weeks later when he and the other guys from the train were all getting France's highest honor for stopping the attack. I remember thinking, huh, Roseburg, I know where that is, but not very many people are from Roseburg, so I was super surprised.
University of Oregon political science professor Joseph Lowndes has been studying the Republican Party and rural politics for years.
I've researched and written about conservatism, party politics, right-wing movements for about 25 years.
Here are my conversations with both of them about the Scarlatos campaign and the crowd it is attracting. Professor Lowndes, what can you tell me about the state of the Republican Party right now, both nationally and here in Oregon?
In some ways, or in many ways, the party has taken a hard right turn in the last 4 years. The Republican Party has been moving in a more conservative direction for the last half century. But really, it has become a very hard right party since the election of 2016. And I think Oregon is almost kind of a national leader in very right-wing politics, particularly I think since Democrats took control of the legislature and the governor's office in Salem. It has opened up space for elements of the hard right to move in. And, you know, there's been kind of right-wing social movements that have emerged that have played a larger role in Oregon politics. We can think of the Malheur Wildlife Refuge takeover a few years ago, or the presence of militia organizations in Josephine County and Douglas County and Harney County.
Do you think the Republican Party, especially the old hat kind of establishment Republicans, have lost touch to some extent with the voters from Generation X and younger?
I think so. As you probably know, Oregon had a very moderate Republican Party up until the 1990s. Kind of middle road Republicanism, not conservative, looked more like New England Republicans. And through a series of kind of anti-tax movements, anti-abortion and anti-gay ballot measures that happened in the 1990s, the party moved rightward then. And I think it's been difficult for the Republican Party in the states since then to kind of find its feet and decide, you know, where it stands. I think there's a demographic split, or like a geographical split, between the cities along the I-5 corridor and Eastern and Southern Oregon. You know, that partly defines some of the contours of this. Also, you know, Oregon has been battered economically in the last few decades, partly with free trade agreements, partly with the decline of the timber industry.
So Skarlatos is running for Congress as a Republican nominee from Oregon's 4th District. You've done some reporting on it. What do we know about the 4th District? Who are the people that live there and what do they do?
With the exception of the two college towns there, you've got University of Oregon in Eugene and Oregon State in Corvallis. Aside from that, it's mostly a very rural district. Lots of forest land, lots of farms, but most of the population is centered on those two urban areas. It tends to be one of Oregon's poorer congressional districts. Back in the 80s, they used to have a lot of jobs in the timber and wood products industry, especially in Douglas County, which is where Skarlatos lives.
You mentioned the college towns, Eugene and Corvallis. There are some smaller cities in that 4th district, especially those in southern Oregon, the Coos Bay, the Roseburg. You cover rural Oregon issues for COIN. Do you see a difference in political leanings when you drive out of those college towns and get into the more rural parts of the district? How fast does it change from blue to red?
So fast. I mean, you can see it even on I-5 as you're driving past these exits. You'll see the Oregon pushback signs. They've got the state outline and the guns on them. It's kind of a Second Amendment thing. You'll see those along I-5 in the more residential areas and like country. You're way more likely to see the Trump yard signs out there.
Since the heroism on the train, Skarlatos has been awarded several medals. He finished 3rd on Dancing with the Stars. He starred in his own movie. And then he started building a political platform. What do we know about Alex Skarlatos, the politician? What is his platform?
His only other political run before was for Douglas County Commissioner in 2018. We talked about that briefly, and he said he learned a lot from that campaign that he's trying to apply to the current campaign. Other than that, he's spoken quite a bit about politics. So I think this is something that's always kind of been in the back of his mind. And I think he also had a lot of encouragement to run for office with, you know, the benefit of being kind of nationally / internationally known.
And I'm obviously running as a conservative and a very fiscal conservative, but we're trying to be the choice for all the people in the middle. And we're running on the common sense issues that I think most people would like to see accomplished.
In terms of his platform, he aligns himself with President Trump. He's pro-gun, military background from a rural area, so that's kind of a no-brainer for him. And then also being from Douglas County, timber is a huge part of his platform. It's like the number one issue on his campaign website and stuff, so he's really playing up that issue.
The timber industry here is kind of what we rely on. There's no real backup plan to the timber industry for southwestern Oregon. And seeing how little income has been brought in from the timber industry, how little tax dollars for county government has been brought in from the timber industry, is probably going to be my main priority. Get us back out into the woods, managing the forest in a way that prevents forest fires and then brings in money for the counties and schools and things like that.
So here comes this young, charismatic, good-looking hero running for Congress against an established Democrat in Peter DeFazio. Why do you think Alex Scarletto's messaging and platform is resonating with Republicans? Is it a matter of gun rights and timber unity, or is there something else there?
I think that it is gun rights and timber unity in this moment. Timber unity has kind of like emerged and developed as a powerful political force on the right in the last 2 years. It draws on sentiments already there, which go back to debates over the spotted owl or over environmental legislation and policies in terms of forestry and timber. And ranching and grazing and mining. But Timber Unity has kind of organized that into a force of partly social movement, partly lobbying organization, partly association of Republican politicians in a moment when Republicans are feeling entirely excluded. You know, this makes Timber Unity an important organization for Republicans in the state. It's kind of moved in to fill a void where there was not much of a center for the Republican Party anymore. So under those conditions, Skarlatos comes in. He says that timber and guns are his two big things that he cares most about. What he's hoping to do is make this matter in areas south of Eugene, all the way down to the California border. In a moment when the National Party has moved rightward and is opening up its coffers for right-wing candidates, it opens up possibilities.
He's running against Democrat Peter DeFazio, who has represented the 4th District since the late 1980s. this appears to be more of a test than he generally faces in a general election. Skarlatos has been able to raise some money. According to OPB, he has managed to outraise any recent DeFazio opponent. What are you hearing about why his platform seems to be resonating with the rural parts of the district?
Well, I think especially early on in his campaign, it was the focus on timber, because we've seen the rise of Timber Unity and other people, rallying at the state capitol against the cap and trade bill a couple years ago, and also just in support of trying to bring back those jobs. So that's definitely a big issue in rural areas. There's also just the fact that he's not Peter DeFazio. And if you're a Republican living in District 4, that's enough for you. More recently, I think he's really capitalizing on the political unrest that we're seeing, especially up in Portland. That's becoming a big focus for Republicans. And Skarlatos has been condemning the rioting and vandalism since we talked back in early June. Since then, the rhetoric has only gotten more intense. We're starting to see that hard divide where you either support police and rule of law, or you basically want anarchists to take over your city. Skarlatos has really gone after DeFazio on this issue numerous times, calling on him to denounce violent or damaging protests, including one that happened in Eugene, I think, in late July. So localizing it that way. So I think that is really getting him a lot of traction, especially on social media right now.
I asked Carly Gabrielson, Peter DeFazio's campaign manager, how they felt about the platforms and promises Skarlatos is running on.
I would say it's a platform at best. It lacks really any specifics. I mean, what is his plan for true job creation? What is his plan to ensure that people aren't forced into medical bankruptcy if the Affordable Care Act is repealed, which President Trump seems to be set on and Alex seems to completely support? I think the reality is that it's the same Republican platform and message to repeal healthcare for tens of thousands of Oregonians with no replacement, with no plan to protect people with pre-existing conditions. This election is a matter of life and death as we face a pandemic, and it's important for voters to know that Alex is bad for Oregonians' health.
Obviously, there is some coordinated strategy within Scarletto's campaign to attack DeFazio for what Scarletto's calls that liberal elitist agenda. For his part, Scarletto's is mostly lockstep with President Trump on things like immigration and the response to the coronavirus pandemic. Do you see that resonating with the voters of his district, or do you think that is more of a coordinated effort to get the attention of members of the Trump administration, high-profile Republicans, people like the Donald Trump Juniors who have come out and expressed support for him?
That's a great question. I had not actually considered that. It may well be that he is thinking self-consciously about the right wing of the party and Trumpist appeal. Remember, this guy's like, he's in his 20s. He's not been around politics very long. He probably has very little idea about policy and has not thought for very long about any of these issues. And there's kind of a ready-made set of political priorities for the Republican right now that you can just tick off and, you know, join onto. I just kind of assume Scarlatos kind of adopted whole hog, you know, with guns and timber. When Art Robinson ran twice against DeFazio, he looked to many people like, oh, well, is he a kook? Is he just a, you know, an older right-wing crank professor who is getting some Wall Street money to go after DeFazio because Wall Street doesn't like DeFazio? But in this case, you've got this guy, he's a national hero. He's good-looking and he's well-spoken. He kind of has an appealing persona. And under those conditions, his politics in this moment may not look as extreme as they might otherwise.
When discussing his opponent, Scarlatto says DeFazio's 3+ decades in Washington hasn't produced enough results back here in Oregon.
Like I said, Peter DeFazio has had 33 years to accomplish his agenda and prove why he should be reelected. And I think that our district overall is worse off because of Peter DeFazio, not better. And I think it's time we give someone else a shot.
And that's something that Gabrielson and the DeFazio campaign take issue with.
Our campaign is active across the 4th Congressional District. We are communicating to new voters that they have a fighter in Congressman DeFazio in office. They have someone who has long supported Oregon's rural communities and timber communities. Congressman DeFazio has brought millions of dollars and jobs back to the state and to this district in road, bridge construction, transit, dredging to strengthen the economy and to strengthen our ports and harbors and way of life on our coastal communities.
We'll be right back.
The COIN Podcast Network is your home for on-demand coverage of local news, sports, weather, and entertainment you won't find anywhere else. You can always find us on coin.com/podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you download your favorite podcasts.
Hey, everybody. Executive producer Ian Costello here, coming to you from the Work From Home COIN Podcast Studios. When we started our podcasts back in February of 2019, we had no idea that we would end up here. Now, a year and a half later, tens of thousands of you are listening to hundreds of our podcasts, and we need to make some changes to grow even further. That's why, starting this week, you can find all of the COIN podcasts in one place. The brand new COIN Podcast Network. From Beaver Smack to Writer's Block. From your weather to our constant coverage of the coronavirus pandemic and the protests in Portland. It is all available in one place. So, to keep hearing the podcasts you already love and to discover more of our exclusive audio content, head to coin.com/podcasts or search COIN, that's K-O-I-N, on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Spotify, Stitcher, or Podbean. Thank you for listening. There are some high-profile Republicans like Kevin McCarthy and Ted Cruz who have thrown their support behind Alex Carlatos. Professor Lowndes, what do you think he has going for him that would garner that kind of support? And do you think Alex Carlatos has some things that veteran Republican lawmakers might be missing?
He's young, and that's probably something they like. He's young and charismatic and has a lot of things kind of going for him in terms of his own personal history. It's clear that he has support within his state Republican Party. There's not a lot of infighting in the Republican Party in Oregon right now. It's a fairly unified, right-leaning organization. You got to remember also that DeFazio is really disliked by the Republican Party. He's really disliked on Wall Street. He is somebody that has been kind of thorn in the side of the financiers. And so I think that that's something that, you know, plays into this as well. People who are major Republican funders would like to see DeFazio come down. So I think that that's probably part of it as well.
This is a district that has been repped by a Democrat since 1975. When you're hearing what you're hearing and reporting on this race, how big of a chance do you give Scarlettos at winning?
As you mentioned, a Republican hasn't represented this district in about 40 years. DeFazio has held the seat since 1987, which is longer than his opponent has been alive. That being said, I think Scarlettos has more of a chance than any other Republican candidates in recent history. He's got the name recognition, the star power, and a lot of those high-profile endorsements that you mentioned. He's also been catching up in terms of donations. When we first talked, he was still lagging a bit, but he's gotten quite a bit more since then. And what's really interesting to me, at least, is that DeFazio's donations are almost entirely from political action committees, but Scarlatos's are almost entirely from individual contributors. So they're like the $50, $100 donations from just your average Joe. So I think that kind of says something about his level of support. And then also the district did go a little less blue in the 2016 election. Obama won District 4 by a huge margin both times. Hillary Clinton's win was a little bit smaller and only because of Lane and Benton counties, which again have those college towns. It'll be interesting to see if the college towns have as much power this time around. Overall, my prediction is that it'll be close, but DeFazio will win.
We know he's a hero and he's young, and you can watch the ad on his website and understand that he's a confident person. You look at his platform, I can see why the Republican Party, especially young Republicans, want him around.
He's young, a hero, he's good looking, talks well on camera, perfect candidate.
If you think about the event on the train itself, the decisive moment for his national and international fame is about taking down a gunman, Islamic extremist on a train in Europe. And so this is appealing for people concerned about Islamic terrorism. It's appealing for this idea of America being a strong, national, powerful, militaristic force in the world. It's appealing for a personal story about individual heroism and decisiveness and taking a stand.
Win or lose in this election, do you see more candidates like Alex Carlatos running to represent the more rural parts of Oregon in the coming years? Do you see them as the beginning of any type of political culture shift?
I think it would be good, especially for the Republican Party, if he is the beginning of a political cultural shift. I'm sure this is a problem in most states, but here in Oregon, I've had the same people representing me since before I was born or since I was a kid, at least. So it's nice to see new ideas and new faces, regardless of party, getting involved in politics. People who have spent most of their time with the people they actually want to represent instead of living in Washington, D.C. for the better part of the last 2 or 3 decades. More broadly, I think the GOP seems to be looking to revitalize the party with a younger set of candidates, Skarlatos just being one of them. We saw it just recently during the Republican National Convention. They featured a lot of younger, more diverse speakers than in years past. And then The Hill reported a few days ago that Donald Trump Jr. actually called Skarlatos to encourage him to run for Congress. The president's son has kind of been reaching out to a lot of younger candidates around the country lately, trying to get more anti-establishment, new blood in office. So I think this definitely could be the start of a trend.
Do you see him and other candidates like him as the face of a newer, younger Republican Party?
One way to think about this is that what's happening to these areas where you have people like Skarlatos becoming political candidates? You know, you could ask the same set of questions about a lot of Eastern and Southern Oregon, you know, where you have like very powerful right-wing politics either happening in county commissions or in city government or in sheriff's offices. What are the conditions that are producing this kind of thing? You don't hear a language of farming and farm policy. What you hear is immigration, abortion. Generally, what you get is like a very right-wing version of this. So going forward, you have to ask, well, what happens to places that are the most abandoned, that are the most left behind? These are the places also where militia movements have become strongest, where you see 3%ers and Oath Keepers, which tells you something about the material conditions on the ground in these places, which open people up to more radical political alternatives. If you already have those conditions in place, then you actually have the conditions for a party that will continue down that path. I think particularly in places where you've got rural poverty versus relative urban wealth, you know, people who feel aggrieved don't necessarily have to express their politics that way. But I think in places that are mostly white and rural, that's what we're likely to see.
In a statement sent to Coin News prior to the publication of this podcast, the Skarlatos campaign told us Alec is excited about the growing grassroots support and enthusiasm around his campaign. That will do it for us today. I'm Ian Costello saying thank you for listening to the Coin Podcast Network coverage of the 2020 election. We will talk to you soon.
Thank you for listening to the Coin Podcast Network. You can listen to more great Coin podcasts on coin.com/podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. Please listen, download, subscribe, and review.